And we pick up reading verse 18, where they called to them again, commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." And after further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. Verse 23, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus." Verse 28, they did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. I'm thankful for God's word this morning. I'm thankful that his written word becomes the living word as we allow his spirit access today, not only into this sanctuary, but into our lives so that we can listen to him and follow him. And I'm thankful that he promised that his word will not return void. We're not here this morning by accident, are we? God knew before we even created all about this day, all about this service. He knew that somebody who had always had a problem with what people thought about him would be up trying to preach a message today about not worrying, not fearing what people think. And God's going to take his holy word today, and I think he's going to do a revelation. There'll be a revolution within us as we realize that the lie is not true, that I am not what people think about me. In identity recovery, we've been answering some of the lies of our society. In the first week, we looked at the lie, I am my worst moment. And we began this on Easter Sunday, and we counteracted that lie, that I'm not my worst moment, I'm not my worst failure, I'm not my worst event. Because Jesus went through Calvary, the sun refused to shine, but 3 days later there's resurrection power, and that's the truth. We are alive in him, so he helps us to overcome our worst moments. The second week we talked about, I am not what I have. The great lie is I am what I have, but the Bible's very clear. It's who I am in Christ Jesus. Last week we talked about I am not what I do. The lie is I am what I do. And we talked about if I were to ask the congregation, what do you do? Who are you? Most people would say, well, I'm a teacher, or I'm a lawyer, or I'm this or that. But we looked at God's word last week and we saw that in Christ we're redeemed. In Christ we're reconciled. In Christ we're adopted. And because of Jesus, I am a child of God. Monday night at Celebrate Recovery, Moses McGuire, who's part of Broken Chain, shared his testimony. And at the very end of a very powerful testimony about how God had broken chains in his life, he said, "My name is Moses McGuire, but I am a child of God." That kind of declares to us, doesn't it, that I am not what I think others may think about me. I am not what I do. I am not what I have. I am not my worst moment. But in Jesus Christ, I am a child of God. I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and I can do the things that he asked me to do. Today for our communion message, and I always mention that because that gives you some hope that it's going to be a little shorter than most messages. I want to mention four key principles out of this text we read together about how we can overcome the lie and not really think that we are what other people think about us. In verse 19 and 20, we see the first principle. And I've got this outline on the back of your bulletin if you want to read along with me or carry this home with you and use it for any kind of devotional material during this week. But first of all, the principle that we're going to talk about first is we need to obey God no matter what. Let's determine that we're going to be obedient to God no matter what happens. And this will help us to begin to not think so much about what others may be saying or thinking about us if we'll focus first of all on simply doing what God asks us to do, to be obedient. Look at verse 19 and 20 again. Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help but speak about what we've seen or heard." Isn't that amazing? They had already decided that they were just going to go with Jesus, that they were going to follow him. It's incredible. Just a few weeks before this passage happened, the disciples, because of fear, they ran away and left Jesus. As Jesus was headed to Calvary, they were headed in a different direction. Peter even cursed and said, "I don't know him." But now they're different. Now they've decided that they're going to do whatever God wants them to do, no matter what. And they even told the Sanhedrin, these rulers of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, "You be the judge on this. You tell us what's right, to obey God or to obey you." We want to obey God, don't we, every time. Two things helped them to obey God. Number one, they knew that Jesus was alive. They knew the resurrection had really happened. And secondly, they had been filled with the Spirit of Christ. They had been filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. So they knew in their minds, they knew Jesus was alive. The tomb was empty. But also they knew that they had been filled up with that presence of the living God. And they were never the same again. Now they had the strength, the courage, the power to say, we're going to do what God wants us to do, no matter what. Now the second principle we find in verse 23 and 24. I want you to notice the first thing they did when they were let go out of jail. They didn't, verse 23 and 24 tells us, they didn't run and hide in a cave. They didn't go down to the police station and say, we've been mistreated. Verse 23 says they immediately went back to where their people were meeting. They went back to where the Christians, the believers, were assembled. The second principle that will help us to overcome trying to gain the approval of others or being accepted by others is just find other Christians near us and be a part of that body, that part of the fellowship. Our vision statement here is simply believe, belong, and become. We've been talking, especially last week, about believing, about being in Christ, being reconciled, having the right relationship. Today we see how these two, Peter and John, as soon as they were let go, they went back to where the Christians were assembled because they knew that's where they were going to get some help. They knew God was with them, but they wanted to go be with other believers to encourage them. That's why it's so important for each of us to be in a small group, a Sunday school class. We believe God saves us. He redeems us. We belong to the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And then the next part of that process is we become by being servants. These disciples, I want you to notice it says at the end of verse 24, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer. They were all together. Those believers were waiting and they were praying. Peter and John were released. They all came back and they raised their voices together.
If you'll remember in Acts chapter 1, Jesus told the disciples, go to Jerusalem and wait. They obeyed and they went to Jerusalem and they waited. Chapter 2 of Acts says they were all in one accord. They were all together, and that's when the Spirit fell upon them. Here we see that as soon as Peter and John were released from prison, they went to where the other disciples were and they raised their voices together in prayer. Powerful things happen when we come together as the body of Christ. So we're going to be obedient to what God asks us to do. We're going to look for other Christians so we can assimilate with them, so we can fellowship together, so that we can gain strength from one another. A little boy one time was very scared during a thunderstorm. His mother came into his room and tried to comfort him, and she tucked him in again, and she had prayer with him. She said, now I've got to go. And he said, Mom, could you just sleep with me tonight? And she looked at him and said, son, I can't. I got to go sleep with Daddy. And he thought for just a moment. He said, the big sissy. But that emphasizes something, doesn't it? We all want somebody to be with us. God didn't create you to make it alone. We are the body of Christ. We're the church. It's Mother's Day. Let me tell one more. A little boy stood up in class and said what he was going to be when he grew up. He said, I'm going to be a lion tamer. He said, I'm going to walk into that cage. There's going to be a bunch of lions in there. And then he realized what he just said. And then he said, but my mommy's going to go with me. We all want somebody to be with us, don't we? And we bless our mothers today. Somebody said that a mother's love is the closest to God's love in this world that we'll ever see. And I agree with that. Part of being together, family. We're the family of God. So we're going to listen to him and be obedient to him. And then we're going to be part of the body of Christ. And we're going to find others who believe and belong. After the earlier service, one of our young men came to him and said, Pastor, I've had it on my heart that we need to start a men's group here in the church. And I said, yes. He said, one of the things, the second point you mentioned today about us being together, he said, we need that here in this church. And I said, I agree. I said, let's pray about it. He said, I'll email you this week. So I want you to be, men, I want you to be getting ready to be involved in a ministry where men can come together. We have the ladies coming together. But men, how we need to fellowship together and pray together and have different projects so that we can make a difference in this world. Third point, look in verse 29 and 30. We need to learn to deal with our fears through prayer. The early disciples prayed. Verse 29 says, now Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Wow, notice what they didn't say. They didn't say, Lord, they're threatening us. They're going to put us in jail. Lord, we need another Exodus. We need another Red Sea. We need a miracle. Lord, would you just get rid of our opponents? They didn't pray for that. They said, Lord, we're being threatened. They're telling us to be quiet. Lord, would you give us boldness so we can speak your word? Congregation, I suggest this morning, that's a pretty good point for us to hunker down on just a little bit, isn't it? When we're afraid, we need to pray. Because when God shows up, he helps us in our time of need. Karl Barth said that courage is prayers that have been prayed. You see, when we're prayed up, our fears turn from just fear to courage. May God help us today to say, Lord, I'm going to be obedient. That's number one. Secondly, I'm going to be a part of the body. And third, I'm going to pray. Because when I pray, good things happen. You show up, Lord. And you empower. You help us. The fourth key is found in verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God boldly. Go out and do the right thing. When we pray, God gives us courage. He counteracts that fear. Then we're to do the right thing, the next right thing. And they went out and spoke the word of God boldly. God didn't answer their prayer. And they said, okay, thank you, Lord, for being with me and forgetting him. They continued to speak the name of the Lord boldly. I like what Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says in the contemporary English version. It says, through faith we are made acceptable to God. And because of Jesus Christ, we're able to live at peace. Praise God. You see, through faith, God gives you and me the measure of faith. We believe, we put our faith in Christ Jesus as our resurrected Savior. The Spirit comes to cleanse us, to sanctify us, to make us holy. And God accepts us. You won't hear anything better than this in a month of Sundays. That God accepts us. When we put our faith in him, he accepts me. I heard Rick Warren say one time, if God loves me, Rick Warren was talking about himself. He said, if God loves me and I like me and you don't like me, that's your problem. That's really being accepted, isn't it? We are accepted in the beloved, God's word tells us. Christ Jesus accepts us. And when we make God big in our lives, everything else becomes smaller. But if we make everything else bigger, then God becomes smaller. And the Lord wants to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Prince of Princes in our lives, so that everything else becomes secondary and we won't be fearing the approval of others. A lot of the things we wear, how we dress, how we talk, some of the things we do that we don't even enjoy doing, we do them because we're trying to be accepted, trying to please others, trying to gain the approval of maybe a parent that never did approve of us, or now older we're trying to gain the approval or the acceptance of our kids. But God just says, put your faith in me. Trust me. I accept you. I love you unconditionally. I love you totally. I love you completely. Now just be free to be you and serve me. Do what I ask you to do. Secondly, be a part of the body of Christ. Third, pray. Because when you pray, I'm going to show up. That's the pattern in the book of Acts. Whenever the people in the book of Acts prayed, God showed up. And you know what happens when God shows up? Something good happens. So God tells us to pray. When you're afraid, pray. God will turn our fear into courage. And then the last thing, we got to go do the right thing. So we can summarize this, and I'll do this quickly. We gain God's acceptance by praise, because praise begins to change the way we think. When we're praising God, either in song or either just reading the Psalms or either just telling God how much we love him, our thoughts begin to focus on him and not others, not things around us. We gain God's acceptance by prayer or by petitions. David said in Psalm 17, Lord, I'm going to call to you because you listen and you answer. So we gain God's acceptance as we praise him, and then we move into an attitude of prayer and thanksgiving. And we bless his holy name, and we realize that, as Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, that we are to pray without ceasing. We're to keep our minds on him and not what others might be thinking, because I've come to believe that we think others might be thinking such things about that. Most of the time, they're not even thinking about us, are they? But oh, the lie of the evil one. We focus on what others might be thinking or feeling about us, and we need to just pray and praise and then be ready. Just be ready, be prepared to do what God asks us to do. Peter and John were certainly prepared. They went to the temple at 3 to pray. They saw a lame man in front of the temple. They stopped. They became the Good Samaritan, and they helped him. They shared their witness to the Sanhedrin. They were prepared. In chapter 4, verse 9, Peter said, if we're being called on the carpet because of this kindness we've shown this man, then so be it. He just did the right thing. As we go forth to do the right thing, then we're going to be focusing on what God wants and not what others might be thinking. I shared a bit of a confession earlier. As we move into Holy Communion and Pastor Doug leads us, one of the areas of my life that I'm continually having to overcome is the approval of others, what others might be thinking. Am I pleasing the congregation? Is everybody happy? But that's why I begin every morning, and I give at least an hour in prayer every morning to say, Lord, I want to love you with all my heart. Because as a pastor or as a layperson, if we focus on what others might be thinking, it'll drive us batty, won't it? So we focus upon who God is and what he's doing in our lives. So therefore, as Rick Warren says, it doesn't really matter, does it? If God loves us and if he's changing us and we like ourselves now because we're new in Christ, then we just go out and we don't worry, do we? Because God's in control. And he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I close with this. Two of my favorite professors in seminary were J.T. Siemens and David Siemens. They were brothers at Asbury at the same time, pastoring and also being professors there. David Siemens wrote a book called Healing of Memories. Healing of Memories. The overarching theme in that book is that because God's not bound by time, God can go back in our lives. He can go back through the corridors of time, as Siemens called it, and he can heal memories that hurt us. We think back and going down the corridors of our life, there may be a painting, a portrait where we think of something and it brings pain, hurt. But because Jesus is not bound, he's able to go back in our past and he's able to heal those hurts and help us. David Siemens told this story in that book when World War II ended. In the South Pacific Islands, there were a lot of Japanese soldiers who were afraid. They didn't turn themselves in. They had listened to propaganda. They believed that if they turned themselves in to the American soldiers, they would be killed. So thousands of them hid in the jungles and in the mountains. The Emperor of Japan finally broadcast over radio. They recorded it, and with loudspeakers, they piped it into the jungles and into the forest that the war was over. Surrender, give yourself up, you'll be okay. And slowly, one by one, some of the Japanese soldiers came out of hiding, and they were free. They were to live at peace. David Siemens reported that 29 years later, in 1974, March of 1974, a Japanese warrior came out of the woods and turned himself in, now in his 60s. And someone asked him, why did you wait so long? And he said, it took me that long to overcome my fears. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning as we come for Holy Communion. Aren't you glad we don't have to wait 29 years? Today's the day of salvation. Today is the day of the Lord. Today is the day of his grace. So we come out of hiding, we come out of seclusion, we come out of fear, and we say, here I am, Lord, help me. And he gives us peace. Through faith, we are made acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, and we live at peace. Lord, thank you for your peace that gives us strength to have the courage that you want us to have to live a godly life and to make a difference and to do whatever you ask us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.